Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
She does her best to hold it. This love comes to call. He's the red control again, and her back's against the wall.
It's very good to hear you and see you. Hear you. I don't know why I want to hear you. Like, I'm just about able to see you without gagging. But you've had a nice Christmas, have you? I won't listen to your answer, actually. I'll get straight to the point. I've had a pretty rough Christmas. I've been sick all Christmas. Still managed to eat nearly all the sweets in the house. Spiced beef is down to the last few slices.
Feel sick and wonder why you were feeling sick.
Yeah, feel sick. Well, that too, but then I was actually sick as well. I think myself and my wife both got the flu.
One of the Christmas presents I got was a pair of socks, Dion.
Oh, yeah?
With Mickey Hart's face on the right sock, you know, wearing a Santa hat and as a snowman and then as a Santa again. And me, my image on the left sock. But Connor Sketches, he got a pair of them as well. And he texted me and he said, look, are they available as condoms? Which I checked. And in fact, they are.
Are they?
So you can, for $5.99 for a packet of three, buy a pack of three condoms. One that's got Mickey Hart's image on it as a snowman. That will guarantee celibacy for any.
Well, I think
for any young man.
Yeah, without getting
in the greater Toronto area, can you think of anything less inclined to inflame your passions than to unfurl a condom over your erect member and realize that it's Mickey Hart staring up at you just at the moment of consummation?
We'll just
go to the pictures.
Like, you might need that at a certain point, but I think when you're actually in that delicate situation of trying to put the condom on, the last thing, like, I'm going to, you know, Mickey Hart and Joe Brawley, they're the last images most people want at that stage. So certainly together.
There's a well-known impressionist. And I mean, obviously I'm friendly with Australia, nearly all of our impressionists, but he told me once, long before he was married, that he had bumped into this girl the night before in All Ireland, and she was from the north. And they just, you know, these magical nights where they just hit it off. and, you know, sort of tearing each other's clothes off as they're going through the hotel room door, you know, into the bed, up on the bed. She unfurls her magnificent breasts. And as she's about to lower herself down, and she says, "Do me one last thing." And he says, "Anything." And she says, "Do your impression of Joe Brawley."
And did he? Do his Joe Brawley impression then?
Well, confronted with that situation, there's not very much you wouldn't do, I would have thought.
That's true. So, yeah.
That's as far as I got with the story before falling off the chair.
But so you got a pair of socks for Christmas.
Get, Mickey Hart condoms.
Yeah.
Mickey Hart condoms.
We're getting a good line in merch. Can we get a piece of that merch if you are condoms?
Yeah. So we should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely should do
Joe
that.
Brawley. Well, Joe Brawley, Joe Brawley wanks dogs condoms would be good too.
I don't know. It's not the sort of gift, you know, that a grandmother would purchase for her grandson or something like that. I think we have to try and be a bit more wholesome, you know, capture right. the larger market. But I've come to America on a belated honeymoon with the glamorous brunette.
Oh, really?
It's such a mental and glorious and fascinating and dysfunctional and vibrant, I mean, and full of crazy religious ideas. I mean, there's a budding authoritarianism in it, but at the same time, it's absolutely intoxicating. I mean, we arrived in New York, and we went for a wander from the hotel down in the East Village, across towards the West Village, through Washington Park. And as we were walking through it, it was activity everywhere, but as we were walking through it, this fella in a suit, black suit, white shirt, no tie, looked about his mid-30s, looked, you know, presentable. Maybe a wee whiff of eccentricity about him. And he took a stereo player out of a sort of a case and turned on this sort of tranquil zen-like music, you see. And I thought at that point in time, well, you know, he's going to do some sort of meditation. And once the music had started, he proceeded to start punching the tree with his left hand.
Okay.
Just methodically punching it. If you can imagine, you know, a boxer punching a punch bag. It was most incredible. I actually stepped in it and started to video it. Right. The glamorous brunette said, "Well, just be careful, you know, he's obviously." But, I mean, we watched him. He punched the tree at least 14, 15 times with his bare left fist. And meanwhile, then a guy had pulled up a piano on wheels, but the piano, the whole top half of the piano had either been dismantled and taken away or was just deliberately done for effect. He went and sat down at the piano and started playing sort of old-time, sort of ragtime music, you know, Scott Joplin and all of that. And then in another part of the park, there was an ancient man, or it may have been a woman with a beard, training the pigeons. The pigeons would come back to her in a cloud and settle all over her face and head and shoulders so that she could barely be seen. You know, as though this was a cloud of pigeons that was moving, you know, slowly around the park. And then on a signal they would fly off again and then return. And you don't know what to expect in America.
But it is just that incredible energy that there is in every American city, isn't it? That you just, and it's almost self-perpetuating too, I think, because when you get there, you feel like you feel so plugged in. Well, I certainly do any time I go to anywhere, where I feel so plugged into the history and the folklore of the place that it kind of creates its own. You feel that these kind of myths are all around you. And I think everybody, I think one of the reasons for that kind of crazy energy is because everybody, for better and for worse, is feeding off that as well. You know, they come to these cities believing New York, Los Angeles, wherever, to be the place where things are going to happen to them the way things happen, you know, happen to so many people through the years. And it creates its own kind of energy. And then it obviously in so many instances, it goes kind of awry and it goes into eccentricity. But it's all like I've never known anywhere like it for just that, the ease at which you suddenly find yourself next to something kind of eccentric or peculiar or hilarious. It just happens so often. And I don't know what that is, except
I think it's probably independence. You know, people are pursuing extremely independent lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, often they're not in a community where someone can say, look, you know, it doesn't, if you've got initiative and a certain genius, you know, regardless of what that is, you know, there'll be no one there to stymie that or to say, look, you know, there's a more stereotypical way to lead your life. I mean, the glamorous brunette on, and you've got like her cousin, Bishop Kevin Sweeney, the Bishop of Patterson, one of the most deprived areas of America, poverty stricken, a lot of crime. Bishop Kevin is viewed down there as a saint. He's a sort of Mother Teresa of Patterson and leads a very, very simple life. So we spent Christmas Day with him, you know, and we drove out with him to the glamorous brunette's cousins. We stopped at a cemetery in Queens, a vast cemetery, and prayed over the graves of her relatives with Bishop Kevin, you know, and all the while he was driving over the middle lane. He's an appalling driver, well known to be so. There was just a constant sort of cacophony of horns hooting. He also drives very slowly. And we had that sort of blessed day on Christmas Day, everyone together, you know. And of course, in American households, the big television's always on. So the basketball, how's the football going? How's the basketball going? You know. And then on the day after Christmas Day, because the glamorous brunette is a country music fanatic, we flew to Music City. So I'm recording this in Music City in Nashville. Like, she is, those wee things you put in the back of the car, the wee puppies?
Mm.
And as soon as the car starts to move, the puppy starts to groove.
Yeah.
So that's what she's like in Nashville. I mean, we arrived. You go down to Broadway. It's quite extraordinary. 10 a.m., every single bar a few sort of tourist gift shops, every single bar, and there must be 60, 70 of them. Live country music starting at 10 in the morning. And high quality live country music. This is where people come to make their names. There's no cover charge. You just wander in. And she said to me, this is the greatest day of my life. I never want to leave here. And it's not a joke. And it's, you know, I've heard sort of snippet stories about Nashville, but nothing can prepare you for what it's like. I mean, it starts at 10, it's still going at 3-4 in the morning. I mean, we did, and of course, the glamorous brunette she's passionate about karaoke. She's the only person I know who can sing in three different keys simultaneously. And we ended up last night at the karaoke bar, and she sang, I've Got Friends in Low Places. Singing now would be putting it a bit highly. Up she went, place was packed, got them clapping, and was wearing her cowboy gear. She's bought all the gear out here. And she was getting men up onto the stage, twirling them around, putting her finger on top of their heads, getting them to spin around under her finger. She was jumping up on them. She got a fella up and started to duet with him, and then set him down on the stage, put him on his side, and then sort of got in behind him in almost a spoon position. The place was just going absolutely wild. She was taking the mic down from the stage and roving amongst the audience, all the while singing completely out of tune, and very rarely. None of this is an exaggeration. In fact, I've videoed some of it, and if the production team were able to, if they think it's good enough quality, we'll play a snippet at the end of this, because it's something about how unselfconscious it all is. And then she was no sooner down from the first song that she was back signing the role again to get up again as soon as possible. And the genuine joy that she gets in it, and it's completely unselfconscious, and the whole place, reveling in it. And I have to say, I laughed and laughed until eventually I thought, I was sore laughing, because she's completely oblivious to the sort of embarrassment or anything that another person would have. I mean, this is her greatest regret in life, was that she wasn't a fabulous singer. And a fabulous country singer.
And has she been to Nashville before?
No.
Oh, that's amazing. I'd love to go to Nashville.
Didn't want to go home. No, doesn't want to go home.
Yeah.
Wants to immediately organize a trip back to here as soon as possible. And then we'll take in Memphis the next time. But this is, her eyes light up. Like you see, Garth Brooks bar. And she idolizes Garth Brooks. For our wedding present, Garth Brooks sent her 5 personally signed albums.
Wow.
And so she said, whenever Garth was coming to Croke Park, because Garth's very friendly with Peter Aiken, and we're very friendly with the Aikens. I'm very friendly with Peter. He was in St. Pat's Armagh. I'm a St. Pat's Armagh boy. I was friendly with his father, Jim, who was the sort of the legendary music promoter who brought, the biggest acts in the world to Ireland. And sort of activated Slane and things like that. And whenever Garth was coming, Peter said, look, don't worry. Said Glamour Sprint, look, I will have you there as many nights as you want to. You'll be in the VIP area. You can wander through. You can meet Garth. And she said to him, absolutely, seriously, do you think there'd be any chance that we could do a duet together? And Peter looked at me thinking, and I immediately shook my head, as in to give him the signal, no, this is deadly serious and must be treated.
Right, yeah.
With the respect. Must be treated with the seriousness with which this has been asked. Do you think I would be able to do a duet with Garth Brooks? Peter was sort of, I'll mention it to him. I'll mention it to him. The biggest stadium artist in the world, I'll mention it to him. There you go. So
are you ever going to leave Nashville? Do you think you?
She is on, like, I see people, like, she is on cloud 9. Yeah. This is a voyage of discovery. This morning early, we were up because she doesn't want to waste a single minute. And we're out here with the Prince Charles is here. Prince Anya Bunam's here with his wife, Shenda. Yeah, and we were sitting in a honky-tonk bar,
Play the guitar,
The guy was doing, you lied when you said you love me, but I'd rather go on hearing your lies than to go on living without you. And it's all that. And it's real proper country and the music. All the guitarists are superb. I mean, you do not play in Nashville in any of the honky-tonks and bars unless you can play. And all of a sudden through the door came, and it was like Sheriff Bart in Blazing Saddles. And the prince is only about 5'4". All of a sudden, he came through the door of the saloon, right, with a huge sort of 10-gallon cowboy hat on. and has, of course, as he always does, entered into the full spirit of it. And we've had such tremendous fun. It's all wearing check shirts and cowboy hats.
Well, you know,
I'll show you my cowboy hat. Hold on. I want to show you my cowboy hat.
I think that is good. That, I was going to say, it suits you, but
this cowboy hat is made of bull hide, and I'm going to wear this.
Oh, God.
I'm going to wear this whenever I'm going to football matches in the future when it's raining. It is brilliant. It's made of bull leather.
You're going to become a character. You're going to become the character. There's Brawley. Yeah,
but see the way it's perfect. It's perfect to if you've got glasses.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard not to be swept up in all that Western folklore out here. You know, a bunch of the boys were whipping it up in the Malamute Saloon. Everywhere you go, you see the sort of the iconic. And then, you know, there are signs on the bar saying, you know, no guns allowed. It's like, which reminds you of that ever-present other side of America, you know.
I know.
Check your guns with the cashier.
But again, it is that, but like Nashville is that place, is a place that it, again, just trades on, not trades, but feeds off the myths and the energy it has as the place where if you want to make it in country music, you have to be there and you have to go there. And like, I love country music. I'd love to go to Nashville. I've never been, and I always want to go because I think it's just, yeah, you know, again, because of the history of the place, Grand Ole Opry.
We'll have to come out. We'll have to come out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ceaseless. I cannot describe to you. You can go to a real old-style saloon that's not that big and you hear a beautiful acoustic guitar and a beautiful singer. In fact, I taped one guy this morning and we'll play this episode out with that. And he was starting there at 10 in the morning. He was there until 2. And then if you're really good, you get invited to the more prestigious places to play for a few hours later on in the evening. But it's ceaseless. Like the moment he finishes, as he's finishing, a crew will be setting up sound for maybe another band, a full country band, maybe a solo artist. We were in a saloon yesterday, a very luxurious one, which isn't normal here. It's owned by that guy, Justin Timberlake, you know, and it's really just so in every way, 3 floors of the best country music. But a young up and coming country music sensation from Texas came in, and there was a great ripple of delight through the audience it's a bar, basically a large bar, and people are having food. And the singer immediately stopped, welcomed him, said, "So fantastic to have him here." And you all give him a big Nashville round of applause. He said, "I'm going to ask you to come up and take my place and sing some of your tunes, brother." And up he went in his check shirt. They all wear cowboy boots. And it has that mysticism, that feel of the old West, you know. And you also feel that it's a very, very safe city. You know, there's police officers everywhere. Everybody's very, very friendly. But you also get the feeling of big, powerful country guys who can handle themselves if it comes to it. These are Tennessee folk. You know, they're not spoiled. They're not used to the silver spoon. It's less than half the price of New York. And it's an experience. And especially if you can get off the beaten track. Don't go to the places that are too touristy, you know.
There's a great country song called "You Never Even Call Me By My Name," which David Alan Coe sings in it. But it was written by a guy called Steve Goodman. And in the song, David Alan Coe says, Goodman claims this was the greatest country song ever written. And Coe says, "I told him it couldn't be the perfect country song because he hadn't said anything at all about mama or trains or trucks or prison or getting drunk." And so Goodman wrote another verse, and the verse went, "Well, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison, and I went to pick her up in the rain. But before I could get to the station in my pickup truck, she got run over by a damned old train." And that is the perfect country and Western verse.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody knows the old joke about what happens when you play a country record backwards. You get your job back, your wife back. And you know, one of the striking things about it out here is the excellence of the music and the excellence of the standard, and you know, often the originality of it. And then you look at the dross that's country and Irish, you know, just that same stuff that's pumped out.
Yeah.
You know, where I would think, you know, that they put all the words into a computer and it comes out with these trite wee poems and everything has to rhyme, you know. Lock, cock, jock. You know, you write the song according to the word at the end of the line. And it doesn't really matter what comes before that. As long as the last word in each stanza rhymes, then you've got a country and Irish song. Yeah. And how easy it would be, I mean, because we've got so many brilliant session musicians playing country and Irish, how much more pleasure they would get from playing real music, you know, instead of just that dead, simplistic stuff that's banged out. I mean, is there anything worse in the world than the late country show?
I don't think so. I've never really.
All the same. We all sound the same. You know, all the backing musicians are the same. They're all that same standard form, industrial dross. And here you get an idea of the real power of country music, you know, the real brilliance of it. You know, when it's done with respect and love, and it's done not just to earn a few quid, but to really play music. And that's the feel you get here. There was a couple this morning. We were in this real American diner, you know, the place is packed. It's huge plates, like it's like Desperate Dan's cow pie, you know. Yeah, like people buying triple burgers and, you know, these biscuits smothered with chicken gravy, they're called. And I just wonder, they look like vast bowls of grey porridge, and people are digging in and picking out eggs from inside this like grey, thick, yogurty looking sauce, you know, and these sopping biscuits, which I think must be like scones, and huge plates. And this couple came in, pretty elderly couple, sat down, says, and I said, oh, I says, that's a Toronto, you people are from Toronto. You see, ah, yeah, well, we're just here, you know, and we've hired a car and we're working down to Memphis, and it's the trip of a lifetime, and then we're going to New Orleans. And they ordered tea, you see, and the tea came out, and the lady said to me, Joe, there's ice cubes in this tea. I said, you know, tea out here is iced tea, you know. She says, can we get a cup of tea? I said, no, but you probably get coffee. I don't like coffee. These people are just on a genuine voyage of discovery. Mm. They're going to find out so much about, you know, I envied them almost, this sort of, it's a once in a lifetime trip for them. They've probably put their life savings into it. They're out here for 10 days and they're just going to follow the music wherever it is, music lovers, and what a trip they're going to have. And that's the sort of wonder that people can get when they come here, you know.
I know. Well, it is why it remains the kind of a place that people dream of and feel, you know, anything is possible.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we decided on Christmas Eve that we'll go down to St. Joseph's Chapel in Greenwich Village, and you should see it. It's just one of the most beautiful chapels I've ever been in. But when we went down there, there was a very old cinema right beside it, showing It's a Wonderful Life at 9 o'clock at night. And the glamorous brunette had never seen It's a Wonderful Life because, quote, I can't watch black and white films. They're for old people. But I persuaded her. I know. But I persuaded her. I said, look, I promise. I promise you this is a special experience and you'll love it. We moved in. Beautiful old cinema. You know those old lean-back red plush velvety feel chairs, you know, big holsters for your popcorn and your enormous sort of jug of cherry Coke. And there it is. It's a Wonderful Life. And whenever the curtain came down at the end, the big tears were running down her face. She'd never seen it, you see. And who can resist it and the beauty of it? And we came out from there absolutely buoyed into the cold night air. And we went into a beautiful wee place called the Tavern at Jane. We had a wee nightcap there. And then we went then the next morning to Christmas Mass in St. Joseph's in Greenwich Village. And I tell you how well appointed St. Joseph's is. They have a band called the Jesus Band, so a G-S-U-S. And you can look them up. They are superb. And they're the full-time church band. But the pianist has a concert grand piano in the chapel.
Wow.
And the young priest blessed us afterwards. We told him we were on, and he blessed us afterwards, and he told us that his people are from Donegal, and just the previous week he had officiated at his brother's wedding in Kerry. Because, of course, the Irish tentacles spread throughout America, wherever you are. You know, as soon as you say you're Irish, even out here, you know, you say, guys, where are you guys from, Ireland? Oh, we love Ireland. That's in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, needless to say, the glamorous brunette's close relationship with President Biden is not mentioned in Nashville.
Okay.
In fact, there's a guy who walks around the streets here with a huge sign up saying, fuck Joe Biden, and a begging bowl, and everybody's giving him money. I stood and watched him for 5 minutes. He's obviously a black guy who's decided this is the way to get money. Fuck Joe Biden. And then you put money in and he goes, yeah, fuck it, man. Fuck Joe Biden.
So, yeah, that says that keep quiet about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no politics. We're Trumpers here. We're Trumpers. Make America great again. Because we support our troops.
But I suppose with that, that's like
I found myself saying to a guy who told us he was in the Marine, I said, thank you for your service. He said, well, thank you very much, sir.
But with that hat, like it's not a MAGA hat, but when you wear that cowboy hat, people might think you are a Trumper, you know. It's going to be a big year for Trump. So
You know, you sort of we look at America from afar and we think it's a bit like the way Ireland has been described this year by, you know, people like Conor McGregor and this very small group of people who are clearly being funded to try to destabilize Irish democracy. And, you know, we know the reality is that Ireland isn't on fire and Ireland's a very peaceful, beautiful place to live. And same, I mean, you come out here and, you know, we watch the shit show that's the Fox News and CNN and all of that, and this really looks like us to a very ominous attack on democracy. And yet when you're strolling about here and you're meeting people and you're chatting, and, you know, like, I'm very curious, so I'm constantly engaged in strangers in conversation here, you see a very different America. And you see that there are a huge amount of complexities about American life, and a huge amount of themes that are intertwined with people's lives here.
That's the truth. Isn't that the truth about everywhere? That everywhere is complex, and you know, complexity is the truth about any situation and any. Tennessee Williams said the only complete person is a complete idiot, and it's true about everything. Everybody is full of complexity and contradictions, and every country then reflects the people who make it up.
I think that there's maybe what we see a lot out here is the superficial. You know, we don't see, you know, like the underlying, the poverty, the problems, the struggles that families have, the feeling that has settled down over America, that the vast majority of hardworking people are being left behind. Mm. You know, it used to be in America after World War II, the contract was work hard, improve yourself, and you will have a better life, and your kids will have a better life, and they live every opportunity. You know, and that was true in the 50s and 60s. But now, you know, that isn't true. And we see in America now people are turning to, you know, an authoritarian figure like Trump. You know, I don't know if you saw Trump's Christmas message.
I missed that. My illness meant I missed that.
He said, you know, all those Democratic thugs and criminals and, you know, they're the pedophiles, and, you know, and he finished off by saying, "Happy Christmas to everyone." It was like that's satirical message we employed a few weeks ago on the podcast, you know.
Yeah, that is the problem with Trump, is that he you know, he is actually funny. It is the thing that's going to make him, and I think, you know, we're going to talk this week, is later in the week, about look back on 2023 and look forward to 2024, but one of the themes is going to be Donald Trump and how he manages to get people to pay attention to him no matter what. And that is, you know, the fact that he has more than anybody blurred the lines between entertainment and politics. Yeah. And I think when we talk about America like we have today, it is the crux of the problem, is the sense that everything is entertainment. You know, when we talk about, walking into a bar in Nashville or New York, walking into a park in New York, anywhere, entertainment is always on offer. And America became slaves to that entertainment, and their political system was hijacked by this need to get ratings, to produce entertainment, and Trump triumphs on that. So it is one of the consequences of that determination always to bring energy and bring entertainment. Like, what is Trump's greatest?
He's the funniest of them. You see, Trump's greatest criticism is the funniest of them.
Well, Trump's greatest criticism, the thing that Trump can say about somebody that is his greatest criticism of anybody, is that they are low energy. Low energy, and you know, Jeb Bush, low energy Jeb,
and he killed him with that. He killed him.
And it's true. And again, it taps into something. Yeah, it tapped into something when Jeb said, you know, my mother is the best person I know, and Trump said she should be running for office. Instead of you,
he is, and that's. That's what he has over the rest of them. I mean, his Christmas message here. I've just punched it up because it's just hard to believe that he's now the front runner to be the American president. Mary, you have to listen to this as though it was Trump's voice. We should have got Al Foran to do it for us. Merry Christmas to all, including crooked Joe Biden's only hope, deranged Jack Smith, the out-of-control lunatic who just hired outside attorneys, fresh from the capital letters swamp, brackets unprecedented, exclamation mark, to help him with his poorly executed, capital letters, witch hunt against Donald Trump and MAGA. World leaders, both good and bad, I greet you. And the sick thugs in the United States who, with their open borders, inflation, capital letters, Afghanistan surrender, green new scam, capital letters, high taxes, no energy independence, woke military, Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Iran, all electric car, lunacy, capital letters, and so much more, are looking to destroy our once great USA. And then this is all in capital letters. May they rot in hell. Again, Merry Christmas to you all.
I think we'll leave it there.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.